Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Homes, the biggest single story display home in South Australia. Distinctivehomes.com.au.
What's making news, Roo?
Bill Cosby's in the news. He's going to get 3 years in the slammer, they're saying, Dits, but not everyone's happy.
Dr. Cosby has been one of the greatest civil rights leaders in the United States for over the last 50 years. All three of the psychologists who testified against Dr. Cosby were white women who make money off of accusing black men of being sexual predators. And we will prove that the DA of Montgomery County used falsified evidence against Dr. Cosby.
And everybody who wants to say anything negative, you're a joke as well. Thank you.
That's his lawyer.
Yeah, they're going to try and get him off. So wait and see what happens there. We might cross to America later on to see what's going on. Because, gee, Bill was big when I was young.
Yeah, massive.
I used to love watching.
The Cosby Show was huge.
Cosby Show.
One of the most watched shows in the world.
Huge.
Hey, there's a senator out of Western Australia, 23 years of age he is. Jordan Steele John's his name. He's a Green senator. And Rui's come up with this idea. He wants to lower the age of voting to 16. And he's saying that he believes that young Australians of that age should have a say in what their future will be. So he wants to lower it to 16. Let's hear from him. No, we haven't got that grab. All right, that's right. What he went on to say was, he's talking about you can have sex at 16, you can drive a car, you go out to work, you pay taxes, you can do all these other things. Why shouldn't you be able to vote? Hang on, sorry, here he is now.
We've got a situation where our society thinks it's right for young people to work full-time, pay taxes, make decisions about their own healthcare, drive a car, have sex, and yet we are not allowed to have our say at the ballot box. And my thought on that is that it's just wrong.
There you go, exactly what I just said. What do you think about that, Ruth?
I'm not sure the percentage of 16-year-olds would know who to vote for, to be honest. I reckon some of them would, but I reckon it'd be a smaller percentage at 16 and 17 than 18, and I reckon there's a lot of 18-year-olds who would, on election day, just would not know what they're doing.
And aren't interested.
Yeah. And I reckon all that does is cloud the actual accuracy of the overall vote.
Yeah, and he was in the toilet when he spoke there, by the way, and he admitted that. He said, yes, you've caught me in the toilet.
Well done.
He did, because it was a bit echoey, yeah. Now, also, it's something. This is on the Overnight program, by the way, with Luke Boner, which is a terrific show here on Triple M. But he also was talking about our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and he described him this way.
So instead of coming up with stupid harebrained schemes, how about Scotty Boy just listen to Indigenous Australians?
There you go. So he was talking about Indigenous stuff there as well, but called him Scotty Boy, at which Luke Boner,
but
he was
in tongue-in-cheek, though, wasn't he, there, when he
called
him that?
Yeah, but
because he was having a go, because he said the Indigenous stuff was stupid, so he's basically saying, when I don't call you dits, I call you... ditzy or something like that.
Yeah, but is it disrespectful to our Prime Minister? Yeah. Like, I mean, how do you think you should address someone in that position?
Well, if you're an actual senator, you should call him Prime Minister.
Yeah. Funny about that, we had a Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, in our studio one day.
Prime Minister, it's Roo here. I've got to apologise. I was very disrespectful last time. I didn't mean to be, but when I called you Tone or Tony, it was just like, I was talking to you like a mate, but I'm going to address you as Prime
Minister.
Long
may that continue, Roo.
Yeah, so we had Tony Abbott in here one day, and Roo called him Tone.
Yeah.
Well,
he called me Roo. And, I just thought that's only fair.
Yeah, no, all right.
If I was a senator, I'd call him Prime Minister, though, for sure. We call him ScoMo. What are we crapping on about?
Yeah, fair point. No, we're guilty
as
well.
But we're on Triple M.
Lacking respect. What else is making
news?
We'll
call Steve Marsh, Marshall. Yeah. We'll just call him Marshy when he comes on soon.
Stevie.
The Premier. Clipsal 500, as it was known for 18 years, was in Adelaide 500. There's a new sponsor on the go, they're saying.
On the go?
Yep.
They are on the run?
No, just about ready to name the new sponsor, new naming rights sponsor. Didn't have one last year.
No, it was the Adelaide 500.
Right, so big deal this one, because it'll put some much-needed funds into the event as well. So I think Hataf Rashid, who is the SA Tourism Commission Events Director, will be... coming forward with that over the next, I don't know, next week or two.
No clues? No hints?
No, I thought we might be able to do a bit of digging.
All right.
Because you've been predicting pretty well lately. You might be able to predict the name, Dits, if you just close your eyes
All
and
right.
think about it.
That's what's making news around the joint. In a moment, we're going to hear from the biggest Collingwood, well, I was going to say supporter. He's actually on the list.
He might even play this
He could even play this weekend. Special guest from Collingwood in just a moment for all the Magpie fans. Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
Dits Overnight Sports. Dynamic Insurance. For business insurance delivered personally, see dynamicib.com.au.
The awards keep coming in the AFL. Last night it was Coach of the Year, Roo.
Yeah, Nathan Buckley has won that, which is a fantastic...
Is that fair enough?
Well, they've had an unbelievable improvement, haven't they? Yeah. I guess it depends on how you judge it. You could say, like, Alistair Clarkson was a great coach because no one thought Hawthorn or Goody or even Adam Simpson come from well outside the eight. So plenty of people have had good years in terms of coaching. There's been a lot of surprises. But well done to Bucks and well done to Collingwood because you would have got long odds about them playing in the grand final this year.
Sure.
Probably at this time last year, there was a lot of speculation about where they're at. But good luck to them, and be interesting to see if they can go one step further. And it's going to be an interesting grand final, Dit. So I wouldn't be surprised if one of the sides sort of didn't rock up, you know, a bit like the prelim, you know, how Richmond didn't and Melbourne didn't.
I reckon they're both primed.
Well, they are both primed, but you would have thought that about all four sides in the prelims as well. So let's wait and see. Tom Duday has signed a 2-year contract extension at the Adelaide Crows. So he's now signed up for the next 3 years, which is good news for Tom, and good news for Adelaide, not that contracts mean too much these days with some people. Crows Matt Wright, ex-Crow Matty Wright, who's been playing at Carlton for a few years, is back at West Lakes as well. He's going to be the captain of the SANFL side.
That's good news. He's a good fella.
Good fella, good old man, good parents. Also be a part-time development coach as well. So that's a 3-year deal where he'll sort of transition from playing to coaching and get some more quality in the SANFL side, which is much needed so they can perform at a higher level. Both the Crows and Port will be looking to try and strengthen up their performances in the SANFL next year. And as Dit said a few days ago, Carlton and Gold Coast will get some assistance next year by the commission, but it will not be in the form of draft picks. It will be in the form of mature age players from the state leagues. Gold Coast will get 3 players, Carlton will get 2, and also the Gold Coast will get a couple of extra rookie positions on their list. So just going to give them more opportunities to get some kids there and develop them. So they obviously think that's a better way of giving them than just giving them young kids. So that's big news. The other huge news that happened yesterday, Dits, this is gaining momentum big time. Demon Jesse Hogan and Melbourne apparently open to the talk of trading him back to Fremantle, which would give Melbourne the room of cap space and the draft pick to go after Stephen May from the Gold Coast, or maybe even Andrew Gaff, who knows. But and what that Port Adelaide are caught up in this as well, Dits. So they are talking about giving Brisbane pick. They've got pick 9 and 10 around that, and they'll get Brisbane's pick 4 or something, so they can get up the list to try and get one of the gun South Australians. So
hang on. I don't want to delay this too long here, this segment, but I'm confused.
How Lockie Neal, apparently from Frio, is going to go to Brisbane. All right. Hogan's going to go to Frio. And Brisbane got to move picks off to get Lockie Neal. And that would be pick 4, which would have usually have gone over to Frio. And Port are giving their picks 9 and 10. Just look at it like this.
I still don't see how Port's involved.
They've got pick 9 and 10. They just want to trade those 2 picks to get pick 4.
Right.
So just look at it as simple as that. They want to use picks 9 and 10 to trade that to get up higher, and they'll get pick 4 in return.
Who's on first? What's on second?
Yeah.
I don't know who's on third.
Yeah, but that's, you've got, you understand picks 9 and 10 are not as good as pick 4. You get 2 players down the list, or you can get one higher one. That's all Port want to get to try and get Rankin or Lukosius or Rosie or someone like that.
Right. All right. Hey, moving on. Adelaide United face Apia Leichhardt tonight in the quarterfinals of the FFA Cup. And in the NRL, Melbourne legend Billy Slater has been cleared to play in Sunday's grand final.
It was important for me tonight to get my point across and what my intentions were in this incident. Now it's important for me to focus on the game.
That's our look at sport. Roo, we're about to talk to our Premier. What's the story?
The story is that there's going to be about 1,000 people expected to be working at the new business hub on the Royal Adelaide Hospital site by next year, which is hopefully a sign of things getting off the ground and happening there, which is fantastic. You drive past here at the moment, there's a lot of cladding around, there's buildings getting pulled down, there's a school getting built down the back, but 1,000 workers on site means there's going to be a fair bit of work getting done.
All right, let's get him on. Our Premier, Stephen Marshall, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah,
very
good,
well,
thank
Steve.
You.
Bad luck about Nord.
Okay, it's been really nice to talk to you. I've got another call coming in.
Yeah. Now, just on that, you can't be born in Effordon and barrack for Port Adelaide and bloody swap camps. You can't do that.
No, look, I'm a big Nord supporter. I wasn't originally. I was definitely born a Port Adelaide supporter in the SNFL and the AFL. I've stuck with them in the AFL, but, not so sure on the two AFL teams in the SNFL anymore. I'm not a big fan.
All right. But, anyway, we've got you on to talk about the RAH site. What's happening down there? 1,000 jobs.
Yeah, look, we were really keen to make sure that this didn't turn into the next La Cornue site for South Australia, just sitting hoarded up for too long. Yeah. No way. It's an important part of our city. We want to make sure the East End remains vibrant. And when you take a whole pile of workers, thousands of workers who are on the Royal Adelaide Hospital site, move them down to the other end, it can have really big impacts upon what happens in other parts of our city. So we thought, no way, let's just get on with this as quickly as we possibly can. That's what we've done. We've accelerated the demolition on that site. If you drive past, you see huge amounts of the old hospital pulled down, and we want to make sure that we get this activated as quickly as possible.
What sort of activation is going to be happening? Is there anything sort of exciting in terms of tourism or anything there? Or is it just going to be businesses moving into that precinct, which is obviously good for the East End of Adelaide? They want to get people in there and workers, and so they can go to the restaurants and everything over on Rundle Street. But is there what's the exciting things that are going to happen for the public there?
Well, Roo, we said we wanted to have this as a mixed-use site. So three key components. One is going to be a new gallery, an Aboriginal Art and Cultures gallery. We've seen these galleries go up down in Mona in Hobart, Goma up in Queensland. They drive huge visitation to those two cities. We really need an icon gallery. We want to put the very best gallery possible on that site adjacent to the Botanic Gardens. We're also going to bring the Regency College of TAFE Hospitality School into the city. Great school, but it's really located a very long way out of the city, and to attract more interstate and international students, we need a CBD location, so we're going to do that. And the third part is this new incubator, accelerator for South Australia, new businesses and future industries, bringing startups and scale-ups and researchers and venture capitalists and angel investors and government departments all together to create a really fantastic curated precinct. I think it's going to be the best in Australia.
Is that similar to what happens at Tonsley right now? Same sort of idea?
Look, Tonsley isn't so much a curated experience. We see these in other states, but on a much smaller scale. Queensland's got a really good one, which is curated by their chief entrepreneur. Theirs is 5,000 square metres. Ours is going to be 23,500 square metres. So
wow.
This site will work in with Tonsley. Tonsley's got its own areas of speciality, and we'll work in with Tonsley and Mawson Lakes and in fact, lots and lots of areas where we do have expertise across our city and across our state. But this will really be something quite special, 23,500 square metres, curated not by government, not by the university, but our own chief entrepreneur, who's Jim Wally, a great guy, was originally a test pilot in the Air Force. He's now got his own massive company, Nova Systems, which he started himself from scratch. We want to inspire the next generation to consider starting their own business, employing people in this state. And what we're going to be doing is giving them all the tools to make sure they have the very best shot at it.
Fantastic. Premier, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you.
Good on you, Steve.
Premier Stephen Marshall. Rue, I like what he said about we don't want it to be a La Cornue site. So it's great that they're getting on the front foot and making something happen down there.
Yep. Hopefully, we can give some opportunities for young South Australians with startup businesses.
Yep. 7:14, Rue and Ditts here on Triple M. 24 degrees in Adelaide today. Beautiful. Rue, let's head to the United States. Bill Cosby, this has dragged on for quite a few years now. We know that as many as 60 women have accused him of either drugging them and or raping them. It's just been a shocking, shocking story. And I think a lot of people thought he was going to get away with it. Well, this morning, he's been jailed. Let's go to Channel 7's Amelia Brace. Amelia, good morning. Can I ask you, what was his reaction when the three-year sentence was read out? How did he react?
Well, in court, he didn't really have a physical reaction. I'm sure you've seen throughout the trial and also the sentencing this week, he comes in quite jovially. He's often joking, smiling, and he certainly had a smile wiped off his face, especially because immediately a police officer came in with handcuffs and arrested him, escorted him out of the court and took him straight to an awaiting vehicle where he was taken to a state prison and checked in. A mugshot has been released. He looks completely downtrodden and disappointed, upset, and you can appreciate after an afternoon like that, it certainly wasn't what he wanted out of court today. His legal team had been asking the judge to let him go home. They wanted him to see out his sentence under house arrest. He, of course, has been under house arrest since he was convicted back in April. But the judge basically said that that wasn't fair. That would be giving him special treatment, basically, because he's a celebrity. And it was important that he did a custodial sentence. So it was important for the judge that he do time behind bars. So nearly 5 p.m. here, he's going into his first night as a prisoner, his first night of 3 years behind bars.
Unbelievably, his wife has stuck by him after 60 women have come forward. We know his lawyer and PR guys are trying to say that he's been taken advantage of and it's racism and all this sort of stuff. What does the general American punter think about Bill Cosby at the moment?
It's incredibly divisive, which I find really interesting. It's not a he said, she said situation. It's a he said, she said, she said, she said 63 times. There are 63 women who have very similar stories spanning decades about his behaviour. And you mentioned his wife, as you said, she's standing by him, but important to note that Bill Cosby doesn't deny having sex with these women. He just says it was consensual.
That's right.
So in the least, he's a pretty poorly behaved husband. Yeah. And at the other end of the spectrum, he's a serial rapist. In terms of the public view, there is often here in the United States that divide in terms of racism and things being viewed racially. And it's not for me to say whether that is incorrect or incorrect, but there are certainly people saying that today, saying that there are plenty of white celebrities, white men who have similar allegations and haven't fronted a court, and that's for, I guess, the public to decide. There's also obviously the Me Too type atmosphere, the Me Too movement, and there was a lot of celebration. So he's really the first high-profile person to be convicted and sentenced since the Me Too era began. We've seen plenty of people lose their jobs. We've seen plenty of people pay out money in civil suits. But this is someone behind bars, and it's a big one. It's a superstar behind bars because of the way he treated women. So in that light, it's being seen as a huge achievement for that movement.
Yeah, for sure. Just finally, Amelia, I don't know if you can answer this, but what changed? Because we've been told for a while now that there was a time limit for a lot of these women, that it happened too long ago that he couldn't be prosecuted. Now, all of a sudden, he is behind bars. Any idea of how that or why that changed?
Nothing did change. Basically, there's the statute of limitations. That's what you're referring
yep.
to. And there's 62 other women cannot take criminal action against Bill Cosby. But it just so happened that Andrea Constand, her sexual assault happened in 2004, so it was within the limits when she brought that action.
Right.
And she was kind of seen as the one hope for these women. A lot of them just assumed that he'd get away with it until she came forward. And it was obviously investigated by police. This is the district attorney bringing these charges, not her personally, and found to be credible, found by a jury to be true. And that's why he was able to face those criminal charges. So for many of the women who were here today, they know they have no hope of getting Bill Cosby in a criminal court. So for them, it was really important that he spend time behind bars, not just for what he did to Andrea Constand, but for what he allegedly did to all these other women too.
For sure. Amelia, thanks so much for joining us. Amelia Brace from Channel 7, who reports on 7 Sunrise this morning. Rue, as Amelia just pointed out, I think the other 60 victims would feel vindicated right now and a lot happier, I think.
Yeah, it's hard to think that he's wrong on all 63 counts, or the girls are wrong on all 63 counts, you would have thought.
And to be drugging them and doing what he's done is just horrendous.
Not good.
Science!
Grab the lab coats and whip out the Bunsen burners.
For science!
It's time to talk science
with Dr. Carl.
Oh, we love talking to Dr. Carl because he knows everything, Roo. And how this is good news this morning. He's sent us a press release and the headline says, Fat is Beautiful.
Oh.
Can you believe this? Now, Dr. Carl, he's got a brand new book out as well. It's called Vital Science. It's his 44th book. Dr. Carl, good morning. Why is fat beautiful?
Because it can make your immune system work better. Have you ever run across the case where, you might read about this, that they've got the Olympic Village all ready to go and they're full of people, and these people are trained within a centimetre, within an inch of their lives, and they're carrying very little body fat, and then suddenly an infection comes through, somebody comes through with a cold, and they say, get them out of here. They're like these highly trained racehorses.
Yep.
They're ready to fall over at the merest hint of an infection because their immune systems are not working at full potential because they don't have enough body fat.
Because they're run down a little bit because they've been working hard and training hard. Is that right?
No, because they don't have enough body fat.
So what does the fat do?
Fat gives you energy really quickly and lots of it. And it turns out that we just discovered this recently, a whole bunch of immune system cells live in the body fat. We didn't know this before. And if you get infected, they'll then kick into action and then use all that beautiful fat that they're surrounded by to start manufacturing both chemicals and cells. And if you don't have enough body fat, well, they don't swing into action. And then suddenly you have a whole Olympic team just falling over with something as simple as a cold.
All right.
Because they don't have enough body fat.
I presume there's a limit, though, because obviously what you're saying is that some fat will absorb what you're talking about. Too much fat, then we're obese, aren't we? And then we perhaps lack energy. Would I be right in saying that?
You're dead right. So what we've done is, as we've, in Australia, cut back on smoking, and we've lost the death due to smoking. We've started picking up obesity, and now we're getting death due to obesity.
Right.
So a little is good, but too much is bad.
So when you say a little bit's good, too much is bad, what's a good amount for the punters out there that are listening right now? How do they work out if they, just right?
For a male, 102 centimetres on the waist is a good start.
Yeah, but what if you're 5'6" or skinny, how do you work out? Everyone's different sizes, aren't they? Got big bones and, thick set and skinny set.
See your GP and, there's a weird thing called TOFI, T-O-F-I, which is thin on the outside, T-O-F-I, fat on the inside. And that's what happens with a whole lot of supermodels.
Right.
So they don't need any food. They get all of the nutrition that they need purely by looking at a photograph of food and by smoking cigarettes, right? I'm exaggerating a little bit there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And they have very little fat on the outside.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot of internal fat in their gut around their liver, and that apparently is really unhealthy.
Mm. And why is that from? What do you mean by that? Why have they got fat on the inside?
Because they're not getting, you need fat,
and
they're not eating enough, and for some reason their body has started coating their internal organs with fat.
Right.
We don't know why, and that's unhealthy, and we do know that that makes them unhealthy, but we don't know why they're going down this pathway. So that sort of boring old thing, eat food, mostly plants, not too much, just like your grandmother told you.
So that put an end to my modelling career,
just
that very fact right there.
So being too skinny, like when you say skinny, do you mean really skinny or just sort of like a athlete? You're saying it's not actually that good.
When an athlete is at peak performance and they will win their event because they're at peak performance, they are also so highly trained their immune system is suppressed and the athletes cannot stay at that level of peak performance for any length of time.
That's why they've got to go out to the paddock every now and then in racehorse terms.
Yeah. So they work their way up. And so the typical ones are the bodybuilders. And instead of having, 10 to 20% fat, they get down to about 3 or 4% fat.
Mm.
And what happens is they go into a shower, they turn on the hot water.
Mm.
The hot water goes over their skin.
Mm.
The skin then opens up the blood vessels, and then there's not enough blood going to their brain, and they faint.
Wow.
They faint in the shower.
That's interesting.
This is sort of like a moderately well-known thing among bodybuilders when they, because what they want to do is they look really good.
Yeah.
And so they strip off all their fat and they just fall over in the shower. They're really fragile. So
I've actually witnessed that, Dr. Carl. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen it.
Wow. Yeah. Really? How did it happen?
Well, I didn't want to talk too personally, but one of my sons kept fainting in the shower. Every time he'd exercise, he'd go to the shower and faint. It was really scary.
Well, basically, evolution is not perfect, just good enough. And if you can live long enough to have babies, then that's evolution is happy.
Dr. Carl, always informative, always interesting, and I urge everyone to check out his new book, Vital Science. I love his books, Dr. Carl. They are always very, very interesting and intriguing. And we'll talk to Dr. Carl again next week. But, Roo, what I take out of that is fat is beautiful.
Yeah, a little bit of fat, yeah.
We've heard a great story this morning.
Mm.
Alice the Wag let slip that one of our angels, Alex Bates, has been caught in an embarrassing situation. We need her to tell the story. We've got her on the line. Batesy, good morning.
Morning, guys. I've panicked. I can't tell you. I heard him listening to Triple M as I ran to my car.
What do you mean him? So it involves a man?
Yes, it involves a man, a tradie, that's working on the house next door to me being built.
Well, so what happened?
You've told us half the story. What happened?
Okay, so basically what happens is I turn the heater on every morning in the living room and have a shower, and then I get dressed in front of the heater because it's so cold.
So you run into the lounge room.
Exactly.
Nude.
And so, nude. So I was moisturising completely nude, and then I was struggling to get my jeans on. So I'm naked and trying to, like, jump into my jeans and, like, squatting and everything. And I turned to try and lift one leg into the dean, and I saw this head through the laundry window looking at me, and we just made the most awkward eye contact for like 3 solid seconds, and then he ducked and I jumped, and he's been there for 2 weeks. Like,
what do you mean he's been there? He's going to be there forever now.
He ain't going anywhere.
Yes, and I do it every morning. So now I'm like, he's seen me jumping naked into my pants for 2 weeks. Like,
he must like the look of it if he's still coming back.
There's no way.
The job finished a month ago.
Yeah. I'm mortified.
So you've been getting looked at.
Yeah, and I say good morning. We have a chat every morning, and he's never like.
He's having a week here or a smile.
He gets to work early now. Don't worry. Mm.
Yeah, well, I ran to my car. I could not even deal with it. I can't go home.
All right, Batesy. Thanks for sharing that with us, Roo.
No.
And good morning to that tradie.
Good morning.
You are.
Yeah.
Good luck. Yeah.
Good
hey, Roo, tradies would have a million stories.
Oh, wouldn't they?
What have you seen?
What about the window washers and stuff that we get here at Triple M?
Yes.
They would have seen a heap of stuff.
Yeah.
Pool cleaners.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, come and clean the pool, all right?
Mm.
You did it last week. Mm. Give us a buzz right now and tell us what you've seen out there. Or
come on, tradies.
Are there a few Alex Bateses out there who have been caught?
Yes.
Husbands, wives, give us a buzz. 1-333-53. Oh, we're taking calls on what have you seen, tradies out there around the house, or husbands and wives. When have you been caught? Let's go to St. Clair. G'day, Darren.
G'day, guys. Many, many years ago, I used to drive cabs. I picked up a fare coming out of the Crazy Horse, a businessman and probably an employee. Started driving him home, and it was a winter's night. I had the stereo on. It was getting a bit foggy, so I put the demister and the heater on, and halfway home, I realised they were having special cuddles in the back seat.
Right. Do you charge extra for that?
Well, let's just say when I got to the address, he said, could you keep going, please, driver? And I did get a bit of an extra fare, and it was like $25, and he gave me a $50 and said, oh, it's cheaper than a motel room. There's your tip. And,
well done. All right.
Yeah, so there you go.
Good result. Everyone's happy.
Yeah. Let's take some more calls on that one.
I call that a happy ending, Roo.
Yeah.
Everyone's pleased. Yeah.
Hopefully they won't go on a bumpy road. 1-333-53. Give us a buzz.
No, we are talking to tradies and people in the workforce, Roo, that just have accidentally come across something.
Yeah, maybe accidentally been looking in the window.
Yeah.
A bit like Batesy. Let's go to Murray Bridge. G'day, Lance.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
All good, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, no, I used to drive escorts around as a job.
What, like?
And
you mean like prostitutes?
They're escorts.
Escorts, we'll call them.
companions, you know.
Right. Okay, I'm only learning this paper.
I went and picked up someone my night, my client, and I looked in the back seat because they both went into the back seat and realised it was a president of one of my old football clubs.
So how did that conversation go?
I bet you played in the A-grade next week.
No, it was one of the old footy clubs, but we just looked at each other and just like, yeah, hi, how are you? And just acted like we didn't know each other.
Good stuff. Good on you, Lance.
We won't ask where why and whatever. Let's go to Wollonga. G'day, Joe.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
Good, Joey.
Similar sort of thing happened to me. We were chip rocking, four of us, in the house first thing in the morning. And whenever a woman comes on site, you can always tell because you can smell the perfume and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I can smell all the shampoo and things, and I'm thinking, what's that coming from? Next thing I look out the window, and there's a woman in the shower with her window, bathroom window, fully open, having a shower with the window open deliberately. She knew we were watching. Well, she knew we were there anyway.
Right.
And I sort of accidentally sort of had a look, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as I'm trying not to accidentally look, the other boys noticed that. So they come running over, and they're looking, and one bloke couldn't get a good enough look. So he jumped up in the stud, and as he jumped up, the stud broke. And it made a big noise, so she just looked out the window, and we all sort of ducked and then ran away, sort of scattered throughout the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The next thing, we're out the front, I'm thinking, oh no, her husband's going to be over. Mm-hmm. He comes out with her and all ready to go to work. And it's morning, boys, how you going, sort of thing. And she's just looking at us and smiling. And I'm thinking the husband's going to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and it was a deliberate act. She
well, he
knew.
Had no
she
idea that,
that
she was flirting
no
with
idea.
You. Might have to take up jip rocking.
Yeah. Now, I reckon Lance, he lives in Murray Bridge. Easy to give him the tickets to go to the races.
Good idea, Dits.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, Roo and Dits for breakfast. Roo, I heard an interview the other day that concerned me a little bit in that, you know, Australians have been so generous and we've raised so much money for the farmers, the drought relief.
Yep.
How much money is there? Where's it all going? Has it been distributed? Is it being distributed? I've heard other stories where farmers have gone online to a government website and actually find the form so difficult to fill out, they give up.
Yeah.
These are the sorts of things that we're hearing.
That's the last thing we want. At the moment, they need cash and they need it now to feed their stock and keep it alive.
Yeah. So I wanted to get an expert on the, you know, could answer these questions for us. Tanya Cameron's the national president of the CWA in Australia. Tanya, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Good,
very
thank
good.
You. Now, my first question as well is, you are the president of the CWA. Is it correct that the National Farmers Federation approached your organisation almost like a handball, if you like, to say, can you please distribute the money for us? Is that what happened?
I guess, yes, Chris, you could say that is what happened. But we already have procedures in place where we had the capability to be able to do that. So each of our state organisations, so I'm the national president. Each state has its own autonomous Country Women's Association, if you like, and they've approached us to distribute some of those funds to farmers in need because we already had that process in place.
Tanya, how much money has been raised just from the general population and is it getting out to our farmers?
That's actually quite a difficult question to answer because there's a lot of publicity around the funds that have been raised through Coles and Woolworths and just, you know, all sorts of other organisations.
Yep.
But just what the total figure would be, I wouldn't actually even hazard a guess.
So how do you know what to spend or how to give it out if we don't know how much we've got?
Because for CWA,
yep.
That money is distributed to or handed over to us, if you like, into the various accounts, state and territory, and we then distribute what we have to distribute.
So
upwards of, you know, and each state is different. So each state is raising money in various ways and from different avenues. And so to put a total figure on that Australia-wide would be very difficult.
Righto. Is it true, as I said in the introduction, that some farmers have found it frustrating and difficult to fill out the paperwork?
Yes, very true. Very true. There are, I think the figures bandied around yesterday, over 20,000 farmers who would be eligible or considered eligible, and only about 2,000 of them are actually receiving the farm household allowance, and the paperwork is horrendous.
So who comes up with that? Seriously?
Government.
Mm. Okay, so what, have you had a look at it? Have you gone, wow, this is just ridiculous, can't we simplify it? And those 18,000 farmers that haven't got any money, make it easier for them to get their hands on it?
Look, I think there's a review about to take place, but unfortunately their recommendations are not going to come out until next year.
So a government review will take quite a while, yeah.
Too far down the track. So there have been some changes made. I've no doubt there could be others, but it's a matter of getting the right heads in the same space to nut that out. But we've had a crack at some of those applications, and they are pretty daunting, pretty difficult. The language in them, the terminology is sometimes difficult to understand, and then also the number of forms that you have to provide with your application.
Okay. I had heard that the amount of $3,000 was bandied about. Now, you're saying there are 20,000 farmers eligible for this funding. Surely we need to be giving these people about $100,000 a year to get them through a 12-month period. $3,000, and with the money that's been raised, I think we could be able to pay that, surely.
Well, okay, so let's take a step back. So the government farm household allowance is worth considerably more than that, but it's not a huge amount of money for a couple, but it's enough to sustain them for, food and groceries. So I think it's around about $500 a fortnight, somewhere in that vicinity, right, depending on how you qualify. The CWA money that's being distributed through our organisations in each state has an upper limit. It's only about a one or two page document application form, and it's in most instances either for either paying household bills, phone, electricity, medical, whatever it might be, groceries if you need them. In other cases, in other states, they might have a payment, an interim payment until that farm household support comes in. It just depends on the circumstances, and each state will be different, but they have an upper limit.
Right. Any rain in sight, Tanya? Anything to be smiling about on the horizon, or is it going to continue?
Not on the horizon, and unfortunately I think it is going to continue, but I'm not a predictor of the weather until it appears on the horizon. So.
Tanya, in no way has this discussion been a criticism of the CWA, and I hope you understand that. We just wanted to get some questions answered, and we know you do a fantastic job, and I mean that, and the CWA has done for a long, long time. Thank you so much for talking to us and explaining what's happening. Thank you.
A pleasure. Can I also add, though, just quickly, no administration fees taken out of any of the money that is given to us to distribute.
Wow. Great. Well, good That's on you. Huge. Well done. Thanks, Tanya.
Our pleasure. Nice to talk to you.
Tanya Cameron, she's the national president of the CWA in Australia. And Roo, there's been a lot of kind-hearted people out there, and even Triple M, of course, we've got our rain song at the moment, raising money. I get the feeling there have been too many organisations raising money. Where's the central pool? Where does it all go to? And why isn't there one central committee distributing it?
That sounds very sensible, Dits. You would have to ask why that wasn't the case.
Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Triple M. Roll up your chinos, put wax in your hair, smash some avocado and grab a protein shake. It's time for the Metros on Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Here they are. Good morning, lads. We've got Flack, we've got Howie and Nails. How are you, boys?
Good, boys.
Good, mate,
boys.
Now, Howie, you were missing last week, and there was a reason for it. Tell us why.
Yeah, I was at the hospital getting the 12-week scan with my girlfriend.
Wow. And amazingly, the topic last week was having kids out of marriage.
Yeah, you dirty bugger.
We're talking about you. Congratulations.
Set me up.
What did the in-laws say? Future in-laws, potentially.
Yeah, they're stoked. They're really happy. And, they've got a few grandkids already, so just another one.
Yeah.
Old Howie, eh?
You're all right. Brilliant stuff. Hey, something with what are you laughing at?
Is this good that Howie's having a baby? He wasn't planning on it, but he is now. You're stuffed.
Have you known her long?
she's a good girl. Big future together.
Righto.
Getting married?
That'll be way down the track, I would have thought.
Right, that's the end of the grilling. All right.
Thank you, yes. Yeah.
Any other questions you had from the father-in-law?
Not really. He did email in, that's right. Yeah. Have you got good intentions? How much do you earn a year? He wants to know that as well. Yeah. Hey, boys, something we addressed with the angels a while ago, how to greet women. Now, Flack, in this modern age, every female that comes up to you, whether you know them or not, it's like you've got to kiss them on the cheek. Or, shake hands. Rue and I are a bit uncomfortable with this because we're a bit older.
Shake hands a little bit softly because I didn't want to hurt them.
And then the angels bagged us, didn't they?
Absolutely screamed at for being weak for doing that. And then I didn't you know, you give them a hard one and you, you
it's
know,
too hard.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
And then you don't know whether you should give them a kiss on the cheek because everyone else is kissing on the
and
cheek.
You've never met him before?
Ah, it's bloody confusing.
What's the story, Flack? How do we greet women?
It depends on how drunk I am.
No.
So, no, like if I'm, if I know them reasonably well, like say Alice the Wag, it might be a hug and a kiss.
Right.
But normally it's just a shake of the hand. But if I'm out at a pub, it's hugging a kiss.
And you, because I'm really guilty of this, I shake really softly with a female. And then they walk away and go, oh, he's a wanker, bloody soft jellyfish handshake. But it's because, it's not how I'd shake your hand. I don't want to hurt, you don't want to hurt a girl and squeeze the hand too hard.
I go medium.
Medium.
Yeah. Medium handshake, so they think, oh, he's not a wussy, he's kind of okay.
So just going back on the kiss and the hug sort of thing, so would you do that to a mate's missus?
Oh, I have, and it, I never did it again.
Righto, Howie.
I think it's one of those things that you just can't win. You're going to get some girls that are going to get angry at you for shaking it too hard, and some girls that are going to get angry at you for not shaking it hard enough.
Yeah, you can't
still
win.
Still talking about handshake.
Yeah, you can't win.
And it's one of those. Yeah, you can't win.
Mm. All right, Nails.
I've actually brought this up with a few of the guys around the office before, because obviously in our job we meet a lot of females and. A lot of them you're meeting for the first time. So it's, you know, do you go the handshake the first time and then second time you go in for a kiss? I still don't think I've nailed it yet. But,
come on, Nails.
Yeah. But yeah, usually I'll go the handshake the first time and then, when you see them the second time, you'll give them a peck and a cuddle, I guess.
Righto.
If they come forward and stick the cheek out, well, then you got to deliver
on the
cheek. But
if they initiate
they stand back a little bit with their arm, you get a little bit of a vibe.
Yeah.
You got to read the play, Roo.
Whereas when they're reading Flack's play, it's just groping.
For long. In for the kill.
I'll be honest, there's not too many women doing the cheek forward for me.
Come on, Flack, don't sell yourself short. Come on. Now, a serious topic that came up this morning. There's a senator out of Western Australia. He's only 23 years of age. Jordan Steele John is his name. And he's put forward in Parliament, in Federal Parliament, we should lower the voting age to 16. His reasoning being that at 16, you can work, you pay taxes, you can drive a car, you can do all sorts of things. He's saying, why shouldn't you be able to vote? And it's about shaping your future. You're a 16-year-old. You can vote in people and you know that will potentially be there for your near future. Flack,
I don't know about you, Roo, but I wasn't having sex at 16.
Sure. You're still not having sex.
Roo was sick of it by 16. Honest, he was over.
Hey, you had nothing else to do in the country.
Roo was bored with it by then.
To be honest, I think 16-year-olds are dumb. I was pretty dumb at 16, doing very silly things and getting into a lot of trouble.
Mm.
So I wouldn't put the fate of our country in my hands. So no, they can't vote.
All right.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm just trying to think what I was doing at 16. I wasn't a country boy, but I think it's just like it's extra taxpayer money that we got to deal with to you know, read the votes and keep the centres open for longer, more people. I think it's just, I don't know, don't see the point.
All right, Howie, get on you. What it nails?
Yeah, I think it's far too young. I think when I was 16, remember when Johnny Howard bowled that leg spinner and it went sideways? Yeah, I reckon I voted against him just because of that. So, I had no idea and I thought that's pretty un-Australian. So, so anyway.
Well, we've got you then. Do you think even after, if it should be 18, the age, do you think it should be compulsory to vote?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't think
Any
so.
Any reason why?
Because I can't be bothered.
Because you got no interest.
I only go there to get a sausage.
That's the thing, the ignorance, the amount of people that are like Flacky that don't understand what they're voting on. What's the point?
Well, it distorts the actual importance of it, doesn't it? Or the result can be misleading.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with Howie.
Yeah. Flack, I do not want you voting at our next election.
I don't want you kissing our girlfriends. I don't want you doing anything. But thanks for coming on as a Metro anyway, Flack. Yeah. You're good at it.
Thank you. Nails, you got any tips for it? Every week Nails gives Rue a tip.
I'm nearly broke at the moment.
Rap is probably the next one. R-A-P.
Right. Yeah. All right, get onto it.
Yeah, get on it.
All right, we're not too late.
What does it do?
Nah, never too late.
What does it do?
It's an app on your phone that basically it's a self-learning algorithm where you cough into it and it diagnoses respiratory disease.
Right.
Apps. Nah, they're new. Yeah. that'll work. That'll take off, yeah.
Telehealth, it's a growing industry, Dits. Right. Get on board.
Is that with sleep apnea and stuff?
Yeah, it does that as well.
Just by coughing.
Yeah.
And you fell for that.
Yeah. Hey, mate, it's an algorithm.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. They are the metros. Oh, Rue. Only a couple of sleeps.
Good old Collingwood forever.
Oh, I never thought I'd hear you sing this.
No, I went back to last week.
Oh, you did too.
No, I didn't.
All right, the busiest man in Melbourne this week is the president of Collingwood, Eddie Maguire. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, boys. Rui, magnificent pal last week, and Ditz, I know you're on board. And mate, Rui, when you got there, it just gave me a bit of a kick along the muscle.
He picked it. He said on air last week, Collingwood would win, and what a great win.
The Wakery Magpies, the Wakery Magpies, and Ditz, you know, you're an old magpie from way back.
Yeah.
The Port Adelaide fans have got to get on board.
Now, you've asked all of Melbourne to get on board. Are they getting on board?
Well, I'll tell you what happened there, right? There were 5 missed calls from John Ralph from the Herald Sun, News Limited, on my phone on Sunday night. And I rang him up and said, what do you want, John? And he said, we've got no front page story, but we're going to get Molly and a few people, so they're going to barrack for Collingwood. I said, that's great. He said, do you want Collingwood? Do you want the whole of Victoria behind us? I said, mate, I couldn't give a stuff. We've got enough of our own. We don't care about anyone else. Nothing else matters. He said, oh, yeah, but we need a front page story. So, all right then. Okay, yeah, we want everyone to get on board. So it ends up on the front page. And then for the last 3 days, I've got all these, I've got cartoons about me now. Yeah. I've got letters of hate in the papers. Just trying to help them. Anyway, get on board if you want. We'd like you guys to get on board too in Adelaide because, let's be honest, there's a more of an affiliation with Collingwood than there is with West Coast. Isn't there? Don't you reckon?
Oh, listen, or am I don't just know. Dreaming? There's a lot of people on Collingwood's bandwagon. I think they feel really good about what's happened to Bucks. I think
Bucks is a South Australian guy.
Exactly right, he is.
A Sandford legend.
Star.
Yeah, there's plenty of South Australians in both teams, actually. So there's plenty of people to barrack for. But Eddie, out of the game last week, there's some great moments. Bucks smiling just before the end of the game. I don't think I've seen Bucks smile in the coach's box his whole career. But when he just could not hold the smile on his face when he knew he was going to get into the grand final. You kissing Gil McLachlan was another great moment as well. What were you whispering to him when you were kissing him on the head there? I know he would have been saying something to him.
Said, just be careful this week, okay? Don't be ripping us off like you normally do, okay? It might have been the Judas kiss, that one. You never know. I might have just pointed him out to all the Collingwood people. No. Look, look, I think what people need to see, and I hope people are enjoying, is in amongst all the fervour and the fanaticism of wanting to win the premiership, there's a great community in footy, and Brownlow Medal Night shows that. You know, us mucking around the way we are doing now, people just got to take the heat out of the game at times. I think sometimes it gets a bit too much. You know, no one's going to want to win more than me, no doubt about that, but at the same time, let's enjoy the sport for what it is and the camaraderie and the great spirit that football should be played in, and that's what it's all about.
Yep, well said. Ed, I was really happy for Steel Sidebottom Brownlow Night because he has been such a good player for so long. And I was going to say he's underrated, but I don't think that's the right word. I know that you all think he's a terrific player, but I don't know. He's just never seemed to be put in the same bracket as a lot of the game's great players. I think he's a super player.
He's had Swanee in his side. Yeah. He's had Pendlebury in his side. He's had some pretty handy mids in there,
hasn't
he?
He was
an 18-year-old who just got pipped for the Norm Smith medal in his first year. So yeah. he's a reasonable player. Won the best and fairest of the Copeland Trophy at Collingwood last year. And, you know, he's probably a bit stiff, given the fact that Mitchell should have been rubbed out for elbowing, what's his name?
Goldstein.
I'm glad that didn't happen. Imagine if that had happened. Mm. Remember at the time people screaming about that he should have been rubbed out?
And yeah.
You go, there was nothing in it. Relax. So, well done to Tommy Mitchell. But, no, he's a beauty, Sidey. And I've just got a funny feeling this week that the skipper might just do something special. I think Scotty Pendlebury's just been quiet. He's been building, playing defensive roles, and you never know. Fingers crossed.
Might unleash the skipper, Ed? It sounds like that could be a good way to go. Out of the review last year, most people thought Bucks was going to get sacked. You guys made a very, very brave decision to keep him there and make a few changes. What was the one thing that the review found that Collingwood needed to change to go from where they were last year to where they are now, if you're happy to release it?
I think the first thing you want to do is make sure you don't blame people for things they're not completely on top of or are responsible for, and look for what people do in life. And you look at our political parties, you know, they go around knifing each other for no good for the country or for their political party or for the cause. So we looked within ourselves and said, right, okay, what is it we need to do? Where do we need to get to as an organisation? Who are the people and what are their roles? Not just put them there and hope. Bucks, you couldn't get a more dedicated person, a person who sacrifices, someone who understands football. And to be perfectly honest, the major thing we came away from was that we were all trying a bit too hard. You know, on a day 35 years after Australia 2 won the America's Cup today on September 26, John Bertrand's book, Born to Win, he said loose as a goose. You know, everyone says you've got to be 110 and fanatical. Well, maybe 110% and fanatical. Maybe you've got to be, as Don Bradman's average was, 99.94 and have somewhere to go and just keep control. And I think there were a lot of big personalities at our club. It's a big club, as you know. And at the same time, sometimes you've just got to believe in each other and everyone play the role. So to use the line of our football department boss, Jeff Walsh, let the baker bake. And everybody's done that this year and has been a genuine love and affection for what we're trying to achieve.
All right. Well,
well said.
Yeah. Enjoy life is the other. So basically, that's it. Enjoy life. Yep.
Well, you said to me the other day, you've never seen people have as much fun as they have this year at Collingwood. Now, obviously, that comes along with winning, but is that a result of putting a few things in place so they're allowed to have fun?
Yep, over the summer it was, Rui. And, you know, the thing is, we spend our life picking the scabs all the time. Sometimes we should just go up to people and say, you know what, you're looking great today or things are going well. 95% of what we're doing was right. 5% we're always concentrating on. I used the analogy and probably needed to listen to my own analogy, but Steffi Graf, she used to just bunt the ball back on her backhand, but get on that forehand, bang, and she would win. And she just concentrated on what she could really do and made sure that what she couldn't do, she was adequate enough to make sure it wasn't a failing. So we've played to our forehand, to use the vernacular, and hopefully we get one more big passing shot on Saturday against the Eagles because they're a pretty good organisation.
You're $1.70 right now, Ed. I reckon you're a good chance of going the whole way.
Say it again to me, Rui. Say it again.
$1.70, Ed. You could go the whole way and be premiers all again.
Well, Ed, you deserve luck. And you've worked so hard yourself. You've done so much over your time at Collingwood. So good luck. I know you'll be inundated, but enjoy the next few days and have a big day Saturday.
Good on you, guys. Go Pies. And if you want to be involved with us, you know, good on you. Get on for the week. We'll take all honorary magpies and just come and enjoy it and get on board something pretty special.
Good on you, Ed.
Collingwood president.
All the best.
Eddie Maguire.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Home, the biggest single-story display home in South Australia. Distinctivehomes.com.au.